Today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change your legacy?
Hey everyone, it's Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 88, and this is going to be a discussion about the experiential or human capital. Of course, this is a continuation of the series. This is now number 6 of those forms of capital first identified, or at least made public to me, by Ethan C. Rowland of Appleseed Permaculture. And so we're continuing our discussion of that. And we're going to look at experiential or human capital, what that is and how to acquire more of it, and those kinds of things. So it should be a good show for you, especially if you've enjoyed this series on capital. And before we do that, though, I want to just take care of a little bit of business. First of all, make sure that you're a registered user of the website. This enables you to make comments under each of the episodes. It also enables you to get the updates when they happen through email. So anytime I make a podcast post or I make a blog post or put up a video or anything like that, you will be notified through email that I've done so. So you don't have to keep checking back to find out when the next ones are. I usually try to do a couple times a week, sometimes 3 a week. Last week I did Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I tried to do one yesterday, didn't get one out, but getting one out today. And so this will, of course, help you balance your time, manage it correctly. So check that out. Also, make sure you're checking out our affiliate focuses, our endorsed affiliates. And for today, we have U.S. Legal Forms. The reason I like U.S. Legal Forms is it is the best place I know of on the internet to be able to acquire the various financial documents and estate documents that you need to be able to leave a proper legacy. So you need a will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive at the very least. And the best place I know of to get those is through U.S. Legal Forms. When you acquire those through them, I think it's about $50 for husband and wife, and you can't beat that. And so make sure that you are accessing that online. Second is Liberty Classroom. Liberty Classroom is just a phenomenal resource for you to learn history, Austrian economics, and now they just put up this week a logics course. So if you've always been wanting to know how to debate well and logically think through things and look at the laws of non-contradiction and all these kinds of things, then they have that through the logics course. And so now they've got a Western Civ course, they've got American History course, they've got an Austrian Economics course, and now a logics course. And so all of that for under $100, and you can't find that anywhere. So check out Liberty Classroom. And then also, if you like the show and you want to support the show, the best way to do that, of course, is becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year, and with that, you have access to our exclusive members-only website that gives you, or exclusive-only members page, which gives you discounts to some vendors, an ebook you can download, some other various resources you can check out. What is available on that on our website, and consider becoming a Legacy Partner. With that, you're able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So consider doing that. Appreciate those who are. And then finally, if you have questions that you want to ask me regarding the legacy and what to do with that or how to do it, anything that we talk about here, the best way to do that is through email at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, and I'll get back with you on that. And I will possibly post those questions and the answers to them on the website. Of course, I'll keep your name anonymous. Well, that takes care of the introductory segment. So now let's go ahead and take care of the main topic of today's show, which is experiential or human capital. Before we do that, let me just kind of review where we've been and where we're going with these list of capital. The first one was social capital. We looked at that, material capital, financial capital, living capital, intellectual capital, and now we're on experiential or human capital, and we have yet to cover spiritual capital and cultural capital. So the first thing I want to do is just ask the question, what is experiential or human capital? And Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations talks about human capital, and this is what he says about it. Bear with me, it's a little paragraph to read, but I think it's in depth from, of course, a classic in capitalism. Fourthly, of all the acquired and useful abilities of all the inhabitants and members of the society, the acquisition of such talents by the maintenance of the acquirer during his education, study, or apprenticeship always costs a real expense, which is a capital fixed and realized, as it were, in his person. Those talents, as they make a part of his fortune, so do they likewise that of the society to which he belongs. The improved dexterity of the workman may be considered in the same light as a machine or instrument of trade, which facilitates the abridged labor, and which, though it costs a certain expense, repays that expense with a profit. And so, in other words, experiential capital or human capital is the experiences that one has gained that provides them with a measure of value. And so it is a great resource, and I'll explain why some of the benefits of it here shortly. But there's a couple of ways that we can look at human or experiential capital, and it really comes from the perspective of whether or not you are a business owner or not. But if you can look at experiential human capital of others that you have access to. So if you're an employer, the human resources departments look at the idea of humans and human capital. And unfortunately, they look at it in the wrong way. If you've ever been a part of a human resource department or, you know, been a part of a company that has this, it just kind of irritates me that we would look at humans as resources and not as persons and individuals. But unfortunately, that's the way corporate America tends to see people, as various resources, numbers, much as you would livestock or, you know, something like that. And that is just not the proper perspective. But nonetheless, what it identifies, though, is it does identify that there are human experiences, that there are people, that there are individuals that have various assets and various resources that can be contributed to a larger field that can then input that field and provide a greater value to it. I always am reminded when I think of this of an episode in The Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. If you've not acquired that book, that's a good book to read. And you can, find some downloads of the audio version of it online, which are pretty good. But in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he talks about one of the lessons that he learned from his rich dad was that his rich dad, although he'd never completed all the way through schooling, he had around him some of the wisest and most experienced men in business. And the way he was able to do that, of course, was by making sure that he surrounded himself with people that were smarter and more intelligent and more experienced than he was. And that is a great pattern to follow for all of us. If we do not have the experience ourselves, then it's important, obviously, to make sure that we are surrounded by people who do have those experiences. Otherwise, we'll end up having to experience them ourselves. And normally, you've probably heard the saying before, that experience is the worst and best of teachers, because you learn it, but you don't want to have to learn it that way. And then you can also, as employers, you can also contract experts. So, you know, this would be more like a 1099 type employee relationship. You don't really employ them, but you use their resources, use their experience, use their efforts, use their talents, that kind of thing, on a trade basis, where they are, of course, trading that experience for the money that you pay them. And they can do projects. This is the way the contractor works in building a house. They'll sub out various items of the building of the house, and the contracting whole project is under him. And that's a way of contracting experts and building that experiential capital and applying and using the experiential capital of others. Another way to do this, of course, that's not necessarily related to being an employee or employee, is a mentorship, apprenticeship type situation. Now, unfortunately, a lot of this has gone away in many fields. We still have some of it in, like, electrician. You can be an apprentice and become a journeyman. You know, those kind of things. Walk your way up through the various stages of professionalism. But mentors and apprentices is a way of learning and gaining some experience that then can be of value to you when you are able to use that to produce assets and value in terms of money or in other ways. And then the second way that you can look at experiential or human capital is the human capital or experiences that you have yourself. And so, you know, a great thing about this is that you already have them. It's not something you need to go out and work for. It's not something you need to go buy. It's not something that you need to reproduce, but rather it's something that you already have within you because they're the experiences that you have acquired. It is the learned abilities. It is the activities that you have gone through and the things that you have learned and applied in such a way that now they have become a part of you. And, you know, all of us have this. All of us have various backgrounds, various skills, various experiences that have affected us one way or another and have made us who we are. And that gives us a measure of value in the marketplace, and it gives us a measure of value as human beings with the experiences that we have acquired. And so what I want to do now is just look at some benefits of experiential or human capital. The first is that it happens naturally in many cases, and so it's easy to acquire. I shouldn't say that it's easy to acquire. Sometimes experiential capital comes through a great deal of difficulty and struggle, and it's through that struggle and difficulty that the experience is obtained. And so it's not necessarily easy that it happens often without effort. And so it happens passively. It's something that happens to us. And even if we are not going through a difficulty, even that there itself gives us a perspective and experience upon the world and upon the situations of life that provide us with a value in life and in the marketplace. Everything that has happened in your life to you is your experiential capital. From doing chores in the home of your parents, to the first job that you had, to all the educational experiences that you have experienced, to the experiences on sports teams or, you know, whatever it is, all of these things contribute to you as a person with your experiences so that as you put things together in their various sequences and in their various relationships, you then provide a certain measure of value from that and through that experience. And so this becomes more and more value, obviously, if you're able to apply the various experiences that you have had in such a way that they touch upon all the others and they're interrelated. Now, we naturally do this with our minds, but it's something that if we actively do, it contributes and magnifies the effort that we have in that. And another benefit of experiential or human capital is that, like intellectual capital, it cannot be taken away. And, you know, your experiences are yours forever, unless, of course, you end up forgetting them. But for the most part, the experiences that we have last forever, and we can pass those on from one generation to the next. And so it's a type of capital. You know, it used to be that young people would sit at the feet of the elders in the community or elders in the village or elders in their family, and they had listened to the stories of how their grandparents or their great-grandparents grew up and the things that they had learned and the experiences that they had gone through. And the idea was is that, you know, these people had gone through so much experience that it's worth learning from them. And unfortunately, we don't see that a lot in our culture anymore. In fact, many times what we find is that the older the people are, the less respected they are, the less that children want to spend time with them and people want to spend time with them learning and growing. And yet they are the ones that have the most experience. They should be the ones that have the most value to pass on. And so the most to be able to contribute to us. And so we should be listeners and able to learn and to grow from the wisdom and from the experiences that they are able to pass on to us. And so like intellectual capital, it cannot be taken away. Third thing is that everyone's experiential capital has similarities with everyone else's, and yet they're unique. In other words, there are relationships that occur throughout life that can be similar. So, for example, if you're a married couple and you know other married couples, you have that experience in common, although the difference is that you're married to different people. And so there are aspects of experiential capital that can be related to others and can be similar to others that provide you with a mutual value. But at the same time, there are experiences that you have personally that is different than everybody else that has maybe a common experience. But that has a unique value to you. And so this is another way of looking at it and another way of thinking about it. So what do you do to acquire more experiential capital or to leverage the experiential capital that you already have? Well, one thing you can do is to be strategic on what experiences you need to acquire. Just like with all the other forms of capital, if you are weak in a certain area and you need to be able to acquire more of that capital, then it's important to take inventory of what you have and what you need and then determine ways of acquiring that. And so the same thing is true when it comes here to experiential or human capital. It reminds me of a book that I read one time of somebody who was a millionaire, and he was imparting all of his skill and experience in becoming a millionaire into various steps and stages and principles and that kind of thing. And so one of them that he articulated in his book was that if you want to go into a certain field and you need some experience, then you don't have to get that experience from the top. You can go from the bottom. And so what he did, and he relayed this situation, is he was considering opening up a bakery or opening up a bake shop of some kind that sold, you know, cookies and breads and, you know, that kind of thing, donuts. And but he didn't know anything about that industry, and so he was lacking in experience. So rather than going and getting a bunch of books or interviewing a bunch of people, what he did is he actually went and volunteered at first to work in one of those restaurants. And the guy, of course, well, you can't just volunteer here. You got to get paid a little bit. So they paid him minimum wage. This is a guy who had already sold a business or two and, you know, had multiple millions of dollars already, and yet now he's sweeping places and cleaning things so that he might learn the ins and out of the bakery business. And by doing that, he had some experience behind his belt. And of course, his experience told him that after that, he realized the margins were so small and the competition so great that he decided he didn't want to go into that business after all. And so that was some experience that he got, that he acquired himself. And he realized where he was weak. He realized what needed to be done to acquire the necessary experience so that he could have the necessary value that would then be able to be translated into the marketplace, and realized that he didn't have it and wasn't going to get it. And so he got it. And then, when he got it, he realized that was not the direction he wanted to go. So that's just a little story to help illustrate that point. And then another thing that you can do to acquire more experiential capital or leverage the experiential capital that you have is to consider how you want to acquire more of that experience. Is it going to be through apprenticeship? Is it going to be hiring it out? Or is it going to be trying it yourself on your own and developing that through your own trial and through your own difficulties? Or, you know, is it going to be the story of a franchise? The story of a franchise is a perfect way of looking at that. And, you know, you can... let's take, for example, a lawn care business. You want to start a lawn care business. You can go and buy some lawnmowers, and you can, you know, develop some business cards. You can go door to door, and you can start advertising your business and start mowing some lawns and, you know, putting out some mulch or, you know, whatever you need to do to do your landscaping and lawn care business. And you're going to learn along the way a lot of things. You're going to learn about, you know, what to do and what not to do. You're going to learn about marketing. You're going to learn about your name and your presence. And you're going to learn about how the most efficient way to cut grass. And you're going to learn about all these things that are going to build your experience. And you can do it that way, and that's a great way to do it. Or you can become a part of a franchise. And the benefit of being a franchise, of course, this is now if you're talking about being an employee or self-employed, something like that, the best thing about being a franchise is that they've already gone through that. They have the experiential capital that they are then allowing you to buy into. And so rather than having to develop that experiential capital yourself, you are able to acquire it through purchase or through royalty or something like that, where they are able to then impart their experience to you, and you can then take that as a value and contribute it into your own business. And so, of course, the tendency with franchisees is that they have the tendency to want to change things, even though the experience has demonstrated a certain technique to be a certain way. We want to change it. I mean, think, for example, if you go to McDonald's, of course, every McDonald's you go to is identical. You go to the register, it's all pictures, and a 14, 15-year-old child can... young man, young woman, whatever it is, can operate that without difficulty after just a little bit of training. And yet it tends to be that people want to learn the hard way, and so they throw off the experience of years, and then they want to be able to change things around. And, you know, can you imagine a franchisee saying, you know, well, we don't like yellow arches. We're going to make the arches at our McDonald's, we're going to make them green. And, you know, it would be a real change of course and something radical. And The reason why they're yellow arches is because the yellow arches have proven to be successful. And so through experience, they've learned the best way to do it. And so remember that when you are considering trying to acquire capital or trying to acquire experiential capital, that you can acquire it not necessarily on your own by doing the same things and learning the same things, but you can actually acquire it by learning or participating in the experience of others who have already gone before you. And then a third way to acquire experiential capital or leverage the experiential capital that you currently have is to consider what you will have to trade in order to acquire that capital. Usually, as I mentioned earlier, unless you're buying into a franchise where you actually purchase money, usually the capital that you are acquiring comes with time. And so as time goes along, you experience more and more, and you are able to then use that in such a way that you provide a greater value. But most of the time, there's always something for trade when it comes to experience. So you may be trading time, you may be trading money, you may be trading, living or whatever it might be, other kinds of capital, other kinds of assets to acquire that. So now I want to just kind of shift gears a little bit. And when I talk about experiential or human capital, one of the things that we must remember is that this is very similar to what the scriptures call wisdom. And the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah. And it is the idea of a skill in war. And how does this come about? So let's say you've got somebody who is a marksman who is able to hit a target at a greater distance than others at a more accurate point than others. Well, that person has developed a great skill at being able to fire accurately. And, if they're in the army or something, they're probably going to go down the sniper route and become a sniper, Navy sniper, whatever it might be. That's a great skill that they have acquired. Well, that doesn't come just automatically. Now, there are some people who may have stiller hands than others or something like that. But for the most part, that's a skill that has been learned. And that's the idea that is behind chokmah or wisdom. It is a skill that has been learned. And of course, that was a very practical thing in times of war to be able to have the skill of war. Wisdom in administration is another use of this word. And what this means is the ability to be able to administer and to oversee and to lead and to supervise various things. And that is a skill. It doesn't come automatically. In fact, if you read a lot of leadership books, they'll tell you leaders are not born, they're made. And the reason that they are made is the way in which the experiences have impacted their life in such a way that they have developed a type of character and certain qualities of life about them. And then wisdom, the word chokmah also means prudence and wisdom or ethical and religious behavior that is in coordination with that. And so when we talk about experiential or human capital, we have to remember that what we're talking about is we're talking about wisdom. And wisdom in the Bible sense is understanding knowledge that is then applied in such a way that it is providing a value. And so the beginning, it says, of wisdom in the scriptures is fear of the Lord. And that is the best experiential capital of all, to learn to fear the Lord. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
It's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and lift our hands and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? World, we'll have to say goodbye. But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change your legacy?